Good morning, everybody. The first reading is found in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, page 1175 in the Church Bible. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 6, starting at verse 25. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Are you all good? Good, good. I'm going to be preaching from the John 6 passage this morning, so if you want to keep that open, that would be very helpful. Let us pray before I start. Heavenly Father, we know that there is no mountain you would not climb, that there is no ocean you would not cross in order to find us. We pray, Lord, that our own hearts and minds would not be those mountains or seas, but that we would be open to hear your word, to respond to your word, and to live it. Amen. So, John 6, starting at verse 25. And in our reading, there was a crowd of Galileans who had been fed just yesterday by Jesus in the wilderness. And so they came back today for more bread, but Jesus isn't there. So they got in a boat and they went in search of Jesus and were going with them to Capernaum, where they found him. And it leads us to discover a contrast between the work of our hands and the work of our heart. Between the work of human beings and the work of God. And Jesus wants us to discover that the more important thing is to be concerned with the work of God. So let us look at the work of our hands. So as we set out with the crowd, we are very concerned with the work of our hands. When they found him, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" This is a very practical question, and as far as they know, he hadn't been on the boat that departed the evening before with the disciples. They knew that despite the time delay, a person walking wouldn't get there before them, traveling by boat the next morning. But here he was. How could he get there so quickly? But mysterious as it was, Jesus reveals the shallowness of their search. "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You're just looking for me because you ate my bread and you think you were satisfied." I have a short video to show you now, which Godfrey's going to press play on. Some of you will remember this.
Last stop on round to be old Ma Peggerty's place. 'Twas like taking bread to the top of the world. 'Twas a grand ride back though. I knew baker'd have kettle on and slices of hot ovis ready. "Get it inside you, boy," he'd say. "You must have gone up that hill as fast as you came down."
Ovis, as good today as it's always been.
Leave that ad leaves us feeling that somehow Hovis knew the secret of life. Hovis is the true reward for your work, it tells us. Buy Hovis and you will be satisfied until you are hungry again. And the Galileans searching for Jesus, and perhaps us also, are easily seduced by the material things, the things we work for with our hands. Once, a long time ago, the girls were little, and we were on the M25 in that queue that sometimes appears for the Dartford Tunnel. And next to us in the queue was this big, stonking, great big camper van. And on the top of this camper van, there was a hang glide of some sort, something that you use for water sports. And then on the back of the camper van, they had one of these hitches where they had a motorbike attached to it. And then they also had a tow bar and a trailer on which they were towing a very flash boat. And strapped to the top of the boat was a jet ski. And obviously, we were very impressed by this man's stuff. But on the side of the camper van, he had painted these words: "The one who dies with most wins." It was an impressive sight. And we can be distracted and seduced by stuff, even the stuff that we think gives life, like bread. But Jesus says, that's not it. Jesus says, the one who dies with the most dies. Do not work for food that spoils, he says. Now, in Jesus' day, the reason anyone worked was to buy food. That was it. A day's work for their daily bread. But of course, daily bread was just that. Bread for the day and none for tomorrow. Tomorrow was another day of work. But we know that the day before, they had been fed in the wilderness by Jesus. Well, how good is that? If we can be fed by this man, we'll never have to work again. But Jesus isn't offering them bread for the day. Don't work for bread. Don't work for food that spoils, he says. In other words, don't make your life's goal just to get by in the day, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. There's more to life than that. Life is not about just existing. It's about meaning. And the food that endures is eternal life. It's not food that can be gained by the works of our hands. It comes as a gift. It has to be given to us by Jesus, the Son of Man, the one, he says, on whom God the Father has placed his seal of approval. To the Galileans' ears, that would have meant something. In their understanding, God's approval was earned by doing good works, works of worship and almsgiving, by being a good person, by keeping the law of God. So they think, well, if we meet God's approval to get fed with bread like that, then tell us what we have to do. What must we do to do the work God requires, they say. As if by getting their life right, by their own efforts, somehow they can conjure up the bread and the fish in the wilderness, just as Jesus did. And our own constant struggle in faith is to stop thinking about what we are required to do to be better, to do more, to be kinder, to not get it wrong so often. And then God will somehow love us. And if we could achieve that, then we would be satisfied. We are so good at making Christian faith all about our efforts and not about his gift. His gift that flows from what he has done. His work on our behalf. Jesus, the one who wins God's approval for us, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. The bread which comes as a consequence of the work of our hands will leave us unsatisfied. We will be hungry again for it, and again and again. The efforts to make ourselves approved by God will leave us unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and worn out. Let's look at the works of our hearts. Jesus says, there are no works you can do. Just one work is needed. And that work is not the work of our hands. It's the work of our hearts. To believe in Jesus, in the one that God the Father has sent. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent, and everything flows from there. So in the eyes of the Galileans, and in our own eyes, when we find ourselves thinking like them, our eyes need to be lifted from earthly things to heavenly things. And then the Galileans want some proof that Jesus is the one to follow. So they ask, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? They refer, of course, to the time when Moses prayed and God sent manna to feed the people. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. as if Jesus would do the same. And then they could just carry on as they were. It was still about the bread for them. And if we ask where our bread comes from today, we're likely to say it comes from our shops. But just last week, our news told us that there was a supply chain issue. There aren't enough lorry drivers to get the food there. Jesus is saying that the Galileans have got a broken food supply chain. I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. Moses was just the shopkeeper, not the provider. The work God requires is work to reconnect, reestablish the supply of true bread from heaven. Bread, he says, that gives life to the world. It's not life that gives life to the world. Sorry, it's not bread that gives life to the world. It's God who gives the life. Physical life, heartbeat life may be sustained by bread, but real life is found in something else entirely. True life, fullness of life, is found in the living relationship with God. A relationship that is established by believing in Jesus as the one sent by the Father. That gives rise to faith that trusts God as the answer to our hungers. Our hungers for love. Our hunger for meaning. Our hunger for significance and value. This is where real life is found, in the work of the heart as we seek God in the poverty of our need. Our spiritual, mental, emotional health will never be found in looking to ourselves and trying to work out who we are, which is a very common preoccupation these days. It's in looking to Jesus and working out who he is. It's when we bring our needs and our weaknesses to him. When we believe that Jesus is the true bread from heaven, the bread of God, as he says, that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the Galileans at last have had their eyes lifted from their earthly concerns, and they pray the right prayer. Sir, they say, from now on, give us this bread. It's a prayer for them in their day, and it's a prayer for us in ours. From now on, give us this bread. No other bread will do if we really want to truly live. If we are to be hungry in our souls, and we all are, may it be for this bread only. So then, in the reading, Jesus is able to take the metaphor of bread and apply it to himself directly. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But it's not an overblown statement that we might get from one of our politicians. They say, vote for me and I will fix the problems. This here is a profound statement that Jesus makes that connects him directly with God. I am, he says, using the same words that God used to Moses in the burning bush when he tells Moses his name. I am. It's the first of seven times that comes in John's gospel. I am. I am God in human form. The supply chain is reestablished if only you will believe in me. And if you believe in me, you may be hungry in the stomach, but you will never be hungry in the soul. You may be thirsty in the mouth, but you will never be thirsty in the spirit. And this is the work that is done in our hearts. A daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, a lifetime work that we continue on believing, working at it, trusting, keeping faith, being changed and renewed until we find our hungers and thirsts satisfied in him. And if they're not met, well, then there's more work to do. The day of discovery never really ends. The work of our hands, our desires for stuff and an easy life, will leave us unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and in the end, worn out. But the work of our hearts, if we get it right and look to Jesus, will lead us to a soul-satisfying bread from heaven, a relationship with God through Jesus, in which we shall never truly be hungry or thirsty. Amen.